Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Thursday. What a pleasure it is. Live in Los Angeles. Foggy Los Angeles yesterday. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. So nice to be here with Joy Taylor. Joy is doing some stuff on TikTok that deserves recognition. It looks like so much work. I'm just like, every time I see your TikTok videos, I'm like, they're so smartly done and edited. And I asked you this morning, do you do those? And I thought you had a staff or something, and you did. How long does that take?
It took a little while. The thing about TikTok is I don't know what I'm doing, you know, because I look ravishingly young, but I am, in fact, a middle-aged woman. And you got to find your own way on TikTok. Like, I'm not doing those dances and that ridiculous nonsense. but I gotta say, like, these TikTokers making all this money, they're doing work. They're not just laying around on their couch.
It's hard. 1 hour from now, Greg Cosell, if you bet football, you play fantasy football, you just love to get smarter with football, Greg Cosell, 15 minutes, makes me smarter every week. He'll join us. So in Cleveland yesterday, and this is really interesting, it's everybody's blaming everybody. And that's, you know, what people tend to do. Finger point. It's your fault. You're the reason. Your fault. And I said with Baker and OBJ, I don't care. Whatever. I'm not into that. The bottom line is it's the biggest game of the year for Cleveland, and your team's got a total distraction. And Cincinnati is totally focused after getting beat by the Jets. So you're going to get Cincinnati's best game at home of the year, and Cleveland's a mess. But it is interesting. Tom Brady, 22 years, and he's never had a problem with a wide receiver. Baker Mayfield's first star receiver. Implodes. Colin, you said you weren't going to blame Baker. Don't get defensive. I'm not blaming him. But it's the reality of Baker. I'm not saying it's Baker's fault. It's the reality of Baker. Baker is combative. Good God, folks. I warned you about OBJ and you didn't listen. I told you it wasn't going to work in Cleveland and you didn't listen. I've been warning you 3 years with Baker. Brady's got a chip on his shoulder, but it never gets the best of him. Baker's got a chip on his shoulder. About half the time it gets the best of him. He calls out the Cleveland medical staff. He called out Duke Johnson's salary. He had to be told by the front office, stop responding to Cowherd on social media. That's a fact. And now this blows up. I'm not blaming. He's combative. In Kansas, he once got into an argument during a coin flip. He did, you know, offensive gestures. Some would say offensive in college to the opposing sideline. He's combative. He's turbulent. A lot of people have chips on their shoulders. Brady, 22 years, never lets it get in the way. And this is something, what I'm about to say here is, I've always said Baker always has to win the press conference. He's always got to be snarky. He's always got to have the final word. And people like that usually have no self-awareness, right? Like, just they just don't get. They think they're saying stuff and it won't land and it's not punitive and it won't come back to bite them. You're always better off to take the high road. And a lot of you can just blame OBJ. But we all knew, Joy knew, I knew, Ryan knew, you knew, anybody listening to me, you all knew OBJ can run a little hot. Dak Prescott knew that Dez ran a little hot. And Russell Wilson knows that DK Metcalf can run a little hot. And Tom Brady knows that AB can run a little hot, a little emotional. So they change. Dak changes. Russell Wilson senses that. Tom Brady senses that. Pays a little more attention. Okay? Going to take one for the team, not trying to win the argument. When you're in a relationship as a franchise quarterback or not with somebody that's emotional, that's okay. It's a human quality. Joy, my family, we all got somebody in the family. Runs a little hot. Bring the temperature down in the room. But Baker doesn't have a second gear. Baker's always got to have the final word. Baker's always got to be combative. Baker's got to call out the medical staff. He's got to coin flip against Kansas. When you're at Oklahoma, you have to get into an argument with Kansas. What do they win, a game a year? He just has one gear. Snark, combative, chip. And in this instance, he's talking yesterday, I thought we got along great. Yeah, because the guy who always has to win the argument never really has the self-awareness to understand. You're aggravating. By the way, I told you last year on this show, we have it archived. I told you OBJ wasn't into Baker. So I knew it, but Baker didn't. How did he not watch the New York stuff? OBJ's great. Runs a little hot. Dak had a receiver. Run a little hot. Brings the temperature down. Randy Moss. AB for Brady. So bring the temperature down. That's your responsibility as a leader, to be able to work with all sorts of, and I don't know why it is the wide receiver position. I've talked about this before. Maybe it's because they break the huddle first. You know, they're the playmakers on most teams. But, they, you know, wide receivers sometimes, they're not all Larry Fitzgerald. They're not all Julio Jones. Some guys want the ball, demand the ball. They get frustrated more quickly. That's okay. Your job is to make it all work, is to have a second gear, is to sense the temperature in the room. It's not a blame on Baker. It's a reality on Baker. He's combative with the media, with me, with Duke Johnson, with the medical staff, with Kansas. With... That's what he is. So if you're flying on Baker Mayfield Airlines, you're just always going to have more turbulence. The good pilots, the good quarterbacks can move around the turbulence. Baker, we're going right at it, baby. That's who he is. It's not blame. It's the reality of his personality. This Aaron Rodgers thing is boy, it's interesting, right? And what a shock. I'm leading with Baker and Aaron Rodgers. It's interesting for a lot of reasons. So the NFL, and I'll read this verbatim, right? I don't want to get this messed up. The NFL is looking into these protocol enforcements with the Packers. Is that, you know, there's a lot of speculation now that Aaron was in places he shouldn't have been without a mask. In August, Rodgers told reporters he'd been immunized, but protocols require Rodgers now to spend minimum 10 days away from the team. That means he's going to miss Kansas City. And he'll be available to come back at the earliest a day before Seattle. Well, then forget it. You're not, I mean, good luck playing the Seahawks, the desperate Seahawks with one day to prepare. It could get worse. the NFL absolutely could step in here and go, listen, you broke protocols. You're out for the Seattle game and one more. So Albert Breer talked about this morning on Fox Sports Radio.
This, though, I think is going to test a few things, right? Because I think that, like, when you look at where some of the rules were broken, and everybody is sort of complicit in it, right? Because the Packers knew the rules, the league knew the rules, Aaron knew the rules. I think when the finger-pointing commences on this, because it's going to start at some point, whose back do the Packers have, right? And are the Packers going to defend themselves, or are the Packers going to close ranks with Aaron Rodgers? I think the way all of that plays out could certainly have an effect on what happens in February and March when we're figuring out whether or not Rodgers is going to be on the team in 2022.
Now, we always know with stories like this, a lot of the information comes down the road. They'll write a book about it. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers will be a book. Seth Wickersham will probably write that book. But there'll be stuff that comes out. So what I'm wondering today is something I don't know. But I'm just going to throw it out there because I'm an opinionist. Green Bay knew he was unvaccinated. And because of the turmoil in the summer, and because Aaron has been dramatic and prone to passive-aggressive shots at the franchise, did Green Bay just let it go because they were walking on eggshells because they didn't want to tick Aaron off? And because the summer was so, you know, ugly and bumpy, did Green Bay know it and say, let's just get through this. Let's just support Aaron now. And that is the downside to being highly dramatic and highly emotional. Like I said, Brady's got a chip. It never affects him. Baker's got a chip. It affects him daily. Aaron's got a chip. We know that. He's starting to be closer to Baker than he is to Brady, which is it now affects him and affects people around him. Were the Packers so concerned about walking on eggshells with Mr. Sensitive and Mr. Unhappy that they just sort of broke protocols and said, let's just get through it. Let's just keep him happy. We're playing well. I don't know the answer to that. But it's interesting. Sally Jenkins is a great sports writer, and she had a great column yesterday, or maybe it was this morning. And let me read this. She said, obviously, it's Rodgers' choice whether to get vaxxed, but he's not entitled to free will on this matter. He's a supposed leader who takes up an ungodly amount of salary space, and he audibly sulked over the Packers' decision to draft his possible successor, Jordan Love. This is where it's interesting. How does a quarterback make people believe in him, not just by throwing it beautifully on the run? Trust is the number one thing in authenticity and leadership. Sally Jenkins quotes the renowned personality profiler and leadership expert Robert Hogan. Robert Hogan said, the most surprising thing he's learned in his research is that 75% of the leaders alienate people with the way they communicate, yet hardly recognize their effect. Among the mistakes they make up, lying to others and thinking others don't see their lies. Keep your word, everything else pales by comparison. Now, we don't know if teammates of Aaron knew. We don't know if he is lying to them or the Packers. I gotta believe they kinda knew, right? People had to kinda know, despite Aaron sort of manipulating and massaging the words in the summer. But I think my number one question in this, and I don't have an answer, but every person listening to this show and watching this show has somebody they work with or somebody in their family that tends to be prone to outbursts and very sensitive. And how do you act around them? You're always walking on eggshells. Did the Packers, because of Aaron's dramatic summer, walk on eggshells? No, Aaron was breaking protocols and just thinking, God, let's just get through it. Let's just, crap, we're playing well. Let's just appease Aaron. And that is the downside to being offended daily, emotional weekly, passive-aggressive shots at the organization. Everybody's just trying to appease Aaron. Did the organization go a step further and break rules? I can't wait to learn about that. I don't know. I'm reading as much as I can. But leadership constitutes a lot of things. Sometimes it's not talking. Sometimes it's emotional discipline. And it's always authenticity. All right. Bill Simmons, by the way, was on our show yesterday. Simmons, I was encouraged. Before I get to that, I was very encouraged. Most of the American sports media has been a valet for Aaron Rodgers, parking his quotes for years and playing to Aaron's neediness. I have not, of course. Bill Simmons has also been occasionally willing to say, yeah, some of this is occasionally on Aaron. Here was Simmons yesterday on our show on Aaron.
I think Rodgers is a diva. I think he's been a diva the last couple of years. I thought the way he handled this whole offseason was very diva-ish. He didn't seem like a team-first guy to me. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand why he chose the week of the NFL draft to blow it up into an even bigger story. And to me, he just seemed like a classic narcissist the last year, where everything was somebody else's fault. He took no responsibility. He honestly seemed to think he was going to be the Jeopardy host, which was insane. They were never making him the Jeopardy host. So when you throw in everything today, it's like, yeah, that's on brand for what we've seen.
Interesting stuff from a smart guy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
So Kevin Stefanski, OBJ, is not at practice again today. There's an understanding right now, and it's really complicated. It has to do with money. But, you know, they owe OBJ $8 million. If he took three, maybe they'd cut him, and then he could go to the waiver wire, and everybody could, he could go where he wanted to go. And it's very complicated. It's boring. It's not good sports talk radio. But that's kind of the process they're in. They don't want OBJ around. The Herd brought to you by Credible. Great rates. None of the bull. It's really funny. So Nick Wright brought up an interesting point. Now, a lot of people think, oh, OBJ is washed. We do this all the time with great athletes. Oh, they're done. Oh, they're washed. Then they get a better environment and they crush it. They're not done. They've got the ability to be great, maybe not as often, but great. I mean, Kobe scored 60 in his last game. You can still be great, just not as often. So a lot of people think OBJ is washed, and Nick Wright talked about this morning.
Maybe his dad shouldn't have Instagrammed that video. But the video was convincing. And Odell is open a lot. And there, it doesn't look like Odell's a bad player. It looks like he's not getting opportunities. Randy in Oakland, people are like, he's cooked. He's done. It's very similar to Odell's career in Cleveland. Very similar. And then Broussard, Randy's first game out of Oakland, he happened to be playing our beloved coach Mangini's Jets, and he went 9 for 183, a score, including a touchdown where I think he ran the, I've never seen this route before. It was just a curl across the entire field. I think it was triple covered. It didn't matter. That was his first game. His first game out of Oakland. It's like, oh, he's Randy Moss again.
It is interesting. So here's OBJ's years with Baker, because you all think he's cooked, right? And then there's Randy Moss's years with the Raiders. For our radio audience, Randy had a few more touchdowns, but targets per game, catches per game, yards per game, all the same. And so, do I think OBJ can play? Yeah. I think he's brittle. I think he is brittle, but the idea that he can't play, he can still play. He can still get open. We have an 11-minute video edited by his dad. He can get open. So I think we kind of predicted this. I said the key to Baker Mayfield is going to be, I said this in September, is going to be late October, early November, because he's going to start playing the Steelers. Oh, he just lost to him. And the Bengals. Joe Burrow's on fire. And he's going to play Lamar a couple times. And then Mac Jones. And I said, this is going to be the time for Baker Mayfield that the front office won't say it publicly, but they will decide if Baker's the guy. And Baker just lost to Pittsburgh. Now in the biggest game of the year, Joe Burrow off an ugly loss at home against the team in Cleveland that has massive disruption. What if Baker loses that one? Oh, by the way, 2 weeks later, it's Mac Jones in New England, and both he and the team are hot. And it's Lamar twice. This was the time you did not want a distraction. But as I said earlier, with Baker, Baker Airlines is always eventually going to hit turbulence. This is just the airline. It's always going to get bumpy because he doesn't know how to avoid bumps. Got to have the last word. Got to be a smart aleck. Got to call out somebody. Got to win the press conference. So it's very interesting. And also, and I'll just throw this out. Why wouldn't Cleveland just, I mean, what does it matter? It's $8 million, it's $4 million. Just let OBJ go. You're not using him. You don't even want him at practice. Why does that extra $4 or $5 million matter to Cleveland? I mean, they'll be able to bring back their team despite that. But that $4 or $5 or $6 million could be valuable if you were, say, acquiring another quarterback. Just a thought.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Greg Cosell, 42 years working at NFL Films. I always say, if you bet football, you play fantasy football, you just want to get smarter in football. And this is a guy. And he's got Rams blue on today. He's got some coding here, some Rams blue. Let's start with this. You know, a topic that has been now well documented and discussed ad nauseum is, you know, the erosion of the mechanics of Mahomes and, you know, the offense and the turnovers, blah, blah, blah. So what did the film say about Monday's Mahomes performance against the New York Giants? What did the film say?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I think I mentioned this to you week one or two about Mahomes. And I'm glad that I brought some people to the party in the last couple of weeks, Colin. But he's been way too quick to break down in the pocket. He's very unsettled. And right now, I learned this phrase from our good friend Ron Jaworski. He used the phrase calm helmet. That means when a quarterback drops back, his helmet is calm. Right now, Mahomes' helmet is not calm. He's moving his head way too much on his drop back. And when that happens, that means you're not really seeing anything. So at this point, he's not really seeing things within the structure, the order, the purpose of the progression. And that leads to a lot of unnecessary movement. That's the Mahomes part. Now, there's other parts to this as well that all go together. Teams are playing them a little bit differently. Yep. There's more too high coverage. There's more two-man coverage. They do not have a viable NFL run game right now. They tried a little bit against the Giants. It was somewhat successful, but they rarely ever put Mahomes under center with a true NFL run game. So there's many factors that come into play, but Mahomes clearly is playing a little fast. He's not seeing things, and ideally you get him to calm down. Look, this is not the first time they've ever seen split safety coverage or two-man. But when you combine it with the other factors, you're getting struggling results.
Okay, so let's talk the young kid, Justin Fields. I watched some of that Niners-Bears game. And at this point, I tend to be with young quarterbacks. Hey, they're going to have some – just bake in two really bad moments, like a bad read, a bad pick, not seeing an oncoming blitzing linebacker. Yep. What did you see against the Niners and Justin Fields? You see any things you like, some gems of improvement?
Yeah, I have. I think you're seeing him play with more poise and composure. I think that he's seeing things a little better. He made a couple of plays against the 49ers where there was pressure. He saw it. He saw the late movement in the coverage, and he was able to get the ball to the right receiver at the right time. I tend to look at young quarterbacks as to how they play in the pocket when there's people around them, because ultimately that's the way you have to play the position.
Yeah.
And I think he's improving somewhat in that area.
Yeah.
We know he's an explosive mover. I mean, he is a big athlete, Colin. He's got speed. He's got power. He's not quite as explosive as a Michael Vick was, but he's explosive. And he's not quite as big as Cam Newton, but he kind of looks like that at times.
Yeah.
So he's very explosive in the way in which he moves. The key for young quarterbacks is how they play before the ball is snapped and then after the ball is snapped when things change. And I think he's showing more poise and composure as he's developing.
Oh, that's good news. So one of the rare picks in the NFL I got right this week, this year, I said New England's going to beat the Chargers. And I said, let's not forget, Herbert's young and Belichick gives
a whole,
I don't care how good Herbert is. I don't care. He's going to struggle. So what did Belichick's defense do against Justin Herbert?
Two things stood out to me in that game watching that tape, Colin. And number one, we think of Bill Belichick because this is what he does, is he tends to play a high percentage of man-to-man coverage. In this game, he was much more multiple with his coverage looks because he wanted to make Justin Herbert have to think after the snap of the ball. That's what you try to do with young quarterbacks. You don't want the look that they see before the snap to be the look that they see after the snap. So Bill Belichick and his staff were much more multiple with the coverage looks, with more disguise, more late movement. The other thing he did in this game is he increased his blitz frequency. That's another tactic that was clearly specific to this game, this matchup. Normally, Bill Belichick is not a high percentage blitzer relative to the rest of the NFL. But in this game, he increased his blitz frequency. And part of that was because of the right side of the Chargers O-line, which are two backups. And it was clear watching the tape that the Patriots defense clearly targeted the right side of the Chargers O-line with what they did with their pressure concepts and their stunt concepts.
So did Brady stink against the Saints, or maybe we should give credit to the Saints? What did the film say on that? Because they just own him.
Brady did not stink against the Saints. In fact, you could argue he played pretty well. I can't speak to the last interception. I don't know what he saw because you know they play two-man coverage. That is a staple of the Saints. Two-man coverage is two deep safeties with man-to-man underneath. I don't know why he threw that ball because he had Godwin on the crosser. The other receiver, Evans, had disappeared. So the two deep safety, P.J. Williams, was sitting right there. So I don't know why he threw that. But overall, I thought Brady threw the ball well. Thought he had a pretty good game. There were a few snaps, and you don't see this often, and the Saints do this with Brady in the games that they played recently, where Brady gets a little stuck in the pocket, unable to deliver with timing and rhythm. You normally don't see that with Brady. You'll see it a few more times versus the Saints. But overall, I thought they played well. The Godwin-Gardner-Johnson matchup was a fun one to watch, and Godwin had some really nice moves against Gardner-Johnson.
You know, I said this Monday, if you took out the Tennessee games, you'd think Carson Wentz is a Pro Bowler, but unfortunately you can't, and they may have wrapped up the division. So I've said this, there's two things I don't believe you can coach out of a person. Indifference, Ben Simmons for the Sixers. If you don't love the game, I can't fix it. And reckless. If you grew up with brothers and you're wrestling and knocking furniture over as a kid, and then you're 23, that's who you are. Like, you like that physicality. And I look at Wentz and I think, I don't know if you're ever going to get out of these awful, awful turnovers. What's the film say?
Well, that's a fair statement because there was a stretch there, three or four games, where you didn't really see that. And then, of course, in critical moment in this past game against Tennessee, you saw the recklessness, and that just can't happen. I mean, there's no other way to say it. But what was interesting to me was the final interception in overtime, to me, was a little more problematic because you know Wentz is going to be reckless. That's who he is, as you said. But that interception in overtime, to me, said more because they ran what everybody runs. It's a crossing route and a vertical route. And you run it when you anticipate cover three, and they got cover three. And the throw to Pittman on the crosser was not there at all. Long, the linebacker, hunted it up, and Byard read it. He was the deep safety. He read it from the get-go and Wentz threw that ball with real conviction as if it was wide open, and only he could tell you why. But that ball, I mean, to me, a rookie quarterback wouldn't have made that throw, and he made that throw. So that, to me, was a little more concerning than the recklessness, which he is going to play with.
So this week, Matt Stafford and the Rams are going to face the Titans. You know, Stafford is just, this thing is working. It's working fast. So you don't have a Derrick Henry. And so, you know, I want to talk about that. Does Tennessee without Derrick Henry, does it change everything? Would they have to run, or do they run kind of their base offense and it won't be as explosive?
That's an unanswerable, but it's a great question. Look, Derrick Henry was the best and most physical back in the league, and the offense clearly started with him. He had far more first down rushes than any other back in the league. Now, the key here is tactically, the Rams can play differently now on first down because I believe the two backs for the Titans will be Deontay Foreman and Adrian Peterson, and they're not going to play them the same way they play Henry. That's number one. Number two, and I think we have to mention this, is the Von Miller addition.
Yeah.
Because now when you get into third and long, and you will get into third and long, what do teams do against the Rams? They slide their protection to Aaron Donald. So now you put Donald on one side, probably on the left side of the offense for the Titans, and Von Miller on the other side where David Quisenberry is the right tackle. And now you put the Titans in a position where they're going to have to keep bodies in for protection. And now that limits the number of eligibles you can send into routes. And that's where I think it becomes a big factor on that side of the ball.
Okay, so really interesting. The Miami-Buffalo game was a little confounding to me because I watched the first half and I thought, what is happening here? And then in the second half, a bunch of three and outs for the Dolphins, and then Buffalo started to click more. So what was kind of the difference? What did they do at half if you're Buffalo?
Well, I think what we saw in the first half was that the Dolphins were very aggressive with pressure. And I think that slowed down the offense for Buffalo initially, and they needed to work that. So they came out in the second half, and what they did is they went no huddle tempo. And one thing no huddle tempo tends to do is it tends to calm down pressure. And that was exactly what happened. And then they were able to get a little more into what they wanted to do offensively. And I think they had two or three touchdown drives. I can't remember, but they were able to really calm down the pressure. And Miami's in a really interesting situation because we know that they don't believe Tua is the quarterback, and the tape tells you that. But, you know, Tua is he's a beat slow with his elimination and isolation. He's not a high-level anticipator. He does not really have a lot of arm strength. So he's a struggling quarterback that two different coordinators last year and this year, they've seen what he is, and they try to work around it, but you can only work around it so much.
Yeah, let's talk about your play of the week. It involves the Bills, and I think the Bills have an argument as the only AFC team to me that feels complete. I think there's several NFC teams, the Rams, the Bucks, the Packers winning in Arizona. Arizona, there's a lot of stuff out in the NFC. I think they're complete teams. Dallas is more complete than anybody will give them credit for. Buffalo feels complete to me. They've really, in the last 2 years, elevated their pass rush. They can rotate guys now. So give me your give me your play of the week here.
Well, and Josh Allen's getting better and better. And he obviously was the leader of this offense in the second half last week, and he threw this touchdown to Diggs. So let's take a look at it. It was a 19-yard touchdown to Stephon Diggs, and it ended up coming against a blitz. And let's take a look at how it all played out. So you're going to see Josh Allen in the shotgun here. And the player who's really interesting defensively is the safety, Javon Holland. Now, right now, where he's positioned, you don't know, is he a coverage player? Is he a pressure player? Remember, they had blitzed a lot in this game. So he just creeps up, and he becomes part of the pressure. So now let's go back to the snap and see what they do. They go play action in the backfield with power play action. So they're going to pull the guard. And look at this outside linebacker. This is just proves that you do not have to run the ball to impact defenders in play action, because you're going to see that outside linebacker, he's going to stop and pause because he thinks it's a run. So now what we want to do is go back one more time, because we want to look at the matchup between Diggs and Xavien Howard. This is something Miami did all game. They, in a sense, zero blitzed, sold out, but they did not play press man. They played off coverage man, and that gave Diggs the ability to run the in-breaking route. And one final point, because of the pressure, they actually let a defensive end in clean. And this proves another point. You could have a first-level defender get in clean, but if the timing is there on a three-step drop timing, you will still beat a first-level defender getting in clean.
Look at that. Boy, Stephon Diggs. I don't like leaving anybody on an island against Stephon Diggs.
No, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's really good. Yeah. Greg, that was fascinating. Thank you, as always.
Thanks, Colin.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Remember when KD left Steph and went to Kyrie? I said, this is not going to go well. It may look good and it'd be fun, but it's not going to go well. So I was just reading the story this morning. The Warriors now have the NBA's best defense. The Warriors do. They're 6-1, tied for the best record in the NBA. That Jordan Poole draft pick, they picked right after KD left, he's become a baller. So now they have Steph and Draymond, Klay's coming back, Jordan Poole, a great coach. Golden State looks like the best team in the West. So, and Brooklyn's not bad, they beat Atlanta last night, but James Harden is a completely different player because the NBA came out with a rule and they just said, James, you're manipulating the league, we're not going to do this. And so he's shooting 39% this year. Last year he shot 47%. And the NBA is not giving him all those free throws. And so between Kyrie's weirdness and instability and James Harden's sudden dilemma, this Kevin Durant decision looks bad. And by the way, Harden is older than you think. He's 32. He now has a game that's not approved by the league, and he's coming off an injury. Meanwhile, the Warriors look fantastic. And I said this before. So you're leaving a great coach, Steve Kerr, to a rookie coach, Steve Nash. You're leaving a great organization, the Warriors, to an organization that's never really been consistently good. You're leaving you know, I mean, Silicon Valley, Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green for Kyrie. Well, you look at it this morning. Harden's game is not the same. The NBA has simply said, we're changing the rules. So instead of having a great coach, you got Steve Nash, who's unproven. Instead of having a great defense, number one in the league this morning, you have one of the worst defenses. You have no rim protector. Instead of having reliable Steph, an emerging Jordan Poole, you have unreliable Kyrie and eroding James Harden. I've said this about LeBron. One of LeBron's greatest qualities, he makes good choices. D-Wade, Bosch, Anthony Davis, huge brand Lakers. I mean, this thing, James Harden's game now, he does not get to the free throw line. I mean, the NBA just said, and it's not like Harden's 23. He's 32 coming off an injury. And the NBA basically said, your game, you got to change it. Now, maybe he can. But he's shooting 39% and not getting to the free throw line. And last year he was shooting 47% and lived at the free throw line. That is a big ask for a 32-year-old, not right now, in great shape, playing with a lot of intensity. He's like a different player. If you watch Harden, he's a different player. You had Steph, you had Klay, you had Kerr, you had Draymond. You had an organization that drafted very, very well. I mean, they drafted Steph Curry was not a number one pick. Klay Thompson was not a number one pick. Draymond Green was a second-round pick. He's going to get Hall of Fame votes. Jordan Poole, the guy they drafted when you left, he would now be a teammate. If KD stays, he's got Steph, Klay, emerging Jordan Poole, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson coming back, and a great front office and a great coach. Now, yeah, it is. So you are what your choices are. That's what you become, what your choices are. And for the record, KD is absolutely a brilliant basketball player. I've said before, if there was a one-on-one tournament history of the league, I think KD would beat Jordan. I think he's absolutely offensively without peer. In a league of ballers everywhere, he is. I've told you the story before. Mark Few, the Gonzaga basketball coach, was on the USA basketball team. You know, it's like Westbrook and LeBron and all these guys. You know, there's all these great players. He's like, among those guys, KD's unstoppable. You cannot stop him. But his choices have left him with eroding Harden, unpredictable Kyrie, and a coach that I don't think is as good as Steve Kerr.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, if you never saw Torrey Holt play, it's called YouTube. He won a Super Bowl back in 99 with the greatest show on turf. It was called The Rams. It was really ahead of its time. He's a Super Bowl champ, 11 years, seven-time Pro Bowler. And the Chiefs last year and the year before, well, we saw that. It was called The Rams, and you were part of that. And by the way, Torrey and his brother Terrence started the Holt Brothers Foundation to deliver on their promise to help kids who have parents and guardians with cancer. Torrey's always been known as complete class, lives in beautiful Raleigh, North Carolina. So the Odell Beckham thing is interesting. Randy Moss was with the Raiders, and everybody said, he's cooked. And then he goes to New England, he's the best player in the league.
Yeah.
And everybody said, Odell, oh, he's washed. And sometimes, Torrey, guys don't fit.
Yep.
It could be scheme. It could be organization.
Yep.
I never thought he was working. The data said with he and Baker, it didn't work. I'm not blaming anybody. But I watch him, and I watched his dad 11-minute video.
Yeah, I did too.
And he's open a lot. So you tell me, what's he have left? What do you see? Do you see the twitchiness? Do you see something there with OBJ?
Yeah, I do. I think Odell still has a lot of good football in front of him. You know, coming off that injury, he may have lost maybe some explosive, maybe not. But just watching him, there may be a little loss there. But I think he has a ton of ability to play. You got to be when I watch him, and just as you said, you watch him. When I watch, he just doesn't look enthused, excited to be there. And you have to be in a good space in the National Football League if you're going to play at a very, very high level. And so that's kind of what I see too with Odell. And then they have to continue. They have to be more intentional on getting him the football.
Now, explain that. That's right.
And so when they come out of the huddle, the ball, the first read is to go to Odell Beckham right off the gate. That's being intentional when you want to get your best receiver or one of your best receivers of football. When you look at the L.A. Rams, they're intentional about getting Cooper Kupp.
Yes.
The football, there's 13, 15, 16, 17 targets that he has an opportunity to make a play. So I'm not saying that Odell gets get that many of targets, but you got to be intentional in getting him the football. Then we'll see what happens after he gets the ball. We'll see how alive he becomes once he gets the football. We just don't know that because he's not getting it enough. And now Odell has had his fair share of drops as well.
Yes, he has.
True, right? But I think where if it's in Cleveland or if it's somewhere else and you bring him in, be intentional on getting him the football if you believe that he can still play at that level.
You know, I'll throw this out. Odell, as we said earlier, he runs a little hot.
Yeah.
T.O. ran a little hot.
Yeah.
Wide receivers.
We can run a little hot. Because we want the ball.
That's right.
And we want you to be intentional on getting us the ball. If I feel as I'm the one of the better receivers on your squad.
Well, you're the best athlete on the offense is almost always.
Get me the ball.
That's right. So it's interesting. If you go back to LSU, when Odell was there, there was no chaos. He was excellent. When you went to New York early with Coughlin, there was no chaos. He was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Giants at the end, there was more chaos. Eli's eroding the coaching situation. He struggled. He goes to Cleveland. 24/7 chaos. I'll just throw this out there. Is that Odell runs a little hot. He is in a situation like a New England or the Rams, could be a much different player than those chaotic last few years. And what I'm saying is, you're a very mature guy, right? Mm-hmm. Like Larry Fitzgerald could run the league. Some of these guys, you put a little chaos around them, it doesn't jive with them. It's not their, they don't like it. And I just say that. I do look at Odell and I think there have been times in his career where he just went out and was productive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the last few years in New York, and Cleveland, maybe he needs to go back to a better structure.
Yeah, and that helps. That it really does, Colin. When you are in a place where there's structure, there's good examples daily on both sides of the football, where there is intent on winning, you can win, you are winning, it just changes the way that you come to work. Von Miller said it. I went to bed 4-4. I woke up 7-1. You telling me he's not motivated to play? Absolutely he is. He knows he's coming into a winning situation. He's coming into a winning culture. He's coming into a culture that's where expectations are high. But guys on the team are meeting those expectations. That's a different feel, man. And Odell is a high-level play. He can play at a very, very high level.
So you played 10 years with the Rams, I think a year with the Jags.
And a year with the Jags.
Okay, so yes. So life's not linear, right? Like, was there ever a year for you? There's a little chaos at the offensive coordinator or something. And you know, now you're a stable guy, right? Like, but did you ever have a year where you're like, man, I'm just driving to work, doesn't feel the same? I mean, seriously, yeah. Greg Jennings told me when he went from the Packers to Miami, he knew in an hour. It's like, this is not the same atmosphere.
I had those moments in St. Louis, absolutely. I was at the peak in St. Louis, and I also was at the low in St. Louis. But it was still my responsibility to come to work every day. It's still my responsibility to try to lead by example. If I want to change what is happening, it has to start with me. And so that was my mentality. So though we did not have winning years, a lot of years, right. I still wanted to make sure that I was performing and doing my job. And hopefully that would encourage and inspire others to do theirs. That's the way that I looked at it.
Yeah. So you played, obviously, with Kurt Warner, and he changed everything there. And Matt Stafford goes losing culture to winning culture.
We changed everything there.
That's right. My bad.
No worries.
Hold me accountable.
No worries.
Are you surprised, Stafford? Week one?
Not at all.
This fast?
Not at all.
Why?
Matthew Stafford is so smart. And when I watch him at the house in games, and the way he gets up to the line of scrimmage and he gets them in and out of plays quickly, and then the play actually works. He's seeing things happen before they do. He knows what that winning play is to get them in. It's fantastic. And then he's also playing with guys, again, that have the same mindset that he has, that is working to be great, working to want to be a champion. That is who he's now with. And when you're playing with players like that, your talents are even more expressive. The players that you're playing with, talents, are even more expressive because you have guys that are thinking the same. Their intent when they go out to practice is to be better at what they're doing. there's a level of maturity and seriousness that comes, I think, comes with Matthew Stafford, as well as Kupp and Robert Woods and Andre
Whitworth. That's a good point, Whitworth.
There's a lot of guys.
These are grown-ups.
These are grown-ups. These guys, they've been to the Super Bowl, and they certainly want to get back, and they know what it takes, Colin, to get there. Matthew Stafford, to me, fits right in.
You know, it's really interesting you say that. Stafford's very serious. Whitworth, we put him on the show, very serious. Aaron Donald, very serious.
Yeah.
Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp.
This pros, is what, man.
Pros.
Pros.
By the way, Jalen Ramsey, you were a little squirrely at times. He comes in.
You know why?
Why?
Because when you come in that locker room and you got number 99 sitting in there every day, who's the best player in the room, best player in the league, and he's serious, and he's focused, and ain't no BS with him a lot. I'm sure these guys have their fun.
Oh, sure.
But when it comes to their work, Aaron Donald is one that sets the tone. You have to buy in. If you're going to be there, and we all come into the National Football League with hopes to get to a championship,
right,
be part of a champion, you better fall in line.
So the Chiefs, you were an earlier version of the Chiefs, where you looked different, you had different plays, you were faster, mm-hmm, you were a nightmare. But Kansas City now is just, it's not quite right. They don't have Sammy Watkins. People now don't let Tyreek get over the top.
Yeah.
They're bracketing Kelsey. You know, I kind of bristle at people have figured them out. I don't think you figure out talent. Nobody's figured out Tyreek right. Hill. But were there ever moments with the Rams, people didn't figure you out, but again, life's not linear, that there were stretches where you're like, okay, this coverage now, we're struggling with it.
Yeah.
Did it just always grow and never stop?
No. There was times within my tenure there in St. Louis when we were really good, where we had our lulls as an offense, where things just were not clicking, for whatever reason. It's, you know, batters don't always bat well. They go into slumps. It happens. I think it's part of the game. But the thing that you have to do though is you have to keep working at what got you to that point. And with Kansas City, there's talks about the offensive line not being as good as it once
it's
was.
New, yeah.
You know, and so now Patrick Mahomes is not as settled and comfortable in the pocket. Maybe he's not going through his reads as comfortable and fluid as he once was, because he knows he has to make a play before he gets
has half sacked. Second left to throw.
You know, the backyard football that we've loved from the Kansas City Chiefs over the last couple of years is not quite there. They're not making those. When he scrambles out, what I mean backyard, when he scrambles out, and he throws it across.
By the way, Torrey, we also have seen a lot of their tricks.
Yes.
On tape. By the way, other teams are using the tricks.
No doubt. So teams do have a better feel for what they're doing. But when you watch them the other night when they came out in that game, offensively, they were very efficient, moving the ball down the field. I mean, against the Giants. I mean, they were sharp. But they were locked in to be sharp. The thing with Kansas City, and I'm sure Andy and the staff said, is, guys, we got to be for four quarters just as we were in that first and second quarter of that Giants game. Meaning we have to continue to be efficient, play fast, you know, be smart about what we're doing, play good football. The Chiefs are not playing clean football, Colin.
Not clean at all.
Not at all. They're turning the football over. So it's hard for an offense to get in any kind of rhythm or get any sense of continuity when you're not playing clean, when you're constantly turning the football over, when you're not converting on third downs. One of the things Sean McVay, I'm sure, loved about last week against the Houston Texans was the 12, the 13, the 14 plays that they were able to get, because you're now able to establish a rhythm. You're able to now establish the game. You're now able to put your imprint on how the defense is going to respond. And Kansas City is not in that space right now.
You were
as much as they would like.
Haven't gotten into the Hall of Fame yet. Do you ever feel you're being punished because you were part of such a great collective? Because there were so many pieces?
I felt that way at times. But I was part of the piece, you know. I was part of what we accomplished, and not only a part of it, played a huge role in.
You were 7-8 time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, you know, 7,000, 1,300 yard seasons, all decade. I mean, I was, you know, I played.
If you made the all
six overall, so it wasn't like I was drafted sixth round or free agent, and oh, we got this great story. No, I was drafted six overall. So what comes with that is expectations. What comes with that is Hall of Fame like ability. And I think I was able to exceed a lot of that.
Well, in fact, I saw a stat this morning. You had 8 straight years with 1,000-plus receiving yards. By the way, the league wasn't the league it is now. Corners could grab you.
Right, exactly.
It was a wrestling match.
I got punished.
Oh, I know.
Several times.
You're also a college football Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You're, You're pretty good.
Thank you, man. I mean, I love football, man. I love everything about the game. I like where the game is now. I love.
By the way, you averaged almost 80 yards receiving a game. That's seventh most in league history.
Yeah.
And again, what people don't talk about this, you could grab a wide receiver. You had to put receivers in motion so they could get off the line.
Correct.
You could be grabbed.
Yeah.
You could be grabbed and wrestled.
That's right.
People just forget. Like, it's a totally different league.
You had guys like Willie McGinnis, who's 6'5", 275, 80 pounds, that can jam you to, literally jam you to the ground. You had guys like Julian Peterson, who played with the 49ers, 6'3", linebackers with whatever wingspan, I mean, crazy wingspan that would line up over top of you and jam you to the ground. You had guys like, teams like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the true definition of a Tampa 2, cover 2 defense that would knock your socks off if you were in their zone. And wasn't paying attention, so it was a different game,
more
violent. But I'm glad I played in that era because I grew up quickly and I had to be tough. Certainly had to be tough to play in that era.
Are you a tough guy now? Tough.
I'm a little more chill now.
Yeah.
I'm older. I don't have to be as tough. football you can't play weak.
This happens though when like Tony Kukoc. I've said this before for the Bulls because the Bulls had so many great players. That Tony Kukoc gets lost. He was the best European player on the planet.
Yeah.
And he was a great player, but the stories are so legendary that, oh, Pippen and Jordan beat him up. Well, yeah, they were better. Tony Kukoc, for like a decade, Tony Kukoc was a great player, 18-point-a-game guy, but Rodman and Phil and Michael
Correct.
And Scottie. So when you play in these great collectives, there's always a guy that gets like, well, he was good, but if you put Tony Kukoc on those awful Maverick teams, he averages, Chris Bosh averaged 27 a game for the Raptors. Nobody pays attention to it.
Yep.
I always said Bosh could have been a 30-point a game
guy. No question.
Guy.
Absolutely.
Cut it in half. Go play with LeBron and D-Wade.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm
play with others, and you spread the wealth, and you spread the responsibility, and more importantly, I still had to do my job. Though I was playing with those other great players, I still had to do my job. Not only I had to do it at a very high level in order for us to have that success. And again, Colin, I think I did that for over a decade.
You did. Torrey Holt, great seeing you, man.
Good seeing you, brother. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I love having you on.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.